Live free or die for many New Hampshire people is just part of the culture of living here. It's on t-shirts, it's a good New Hampshire joke punchline, it's constantly quoted in political speeches. But even though we may hear it all the time, most of us don't really think too much about it. But George and Maxine Maynard are different.
It's Lauren.
Yeah, it is. No, it's afternoon, no.
No, I said it's Lauren.
The Maynards have what you might call a complicated relationship with Live Free or Die. They're in their mid-80s now. They shuffle around their one-story home in Connecticut, where they keep tabs on their neighbors and read the Bible every day. The Maynards are deeply religious.
Okay, Daniel, D-A-N.
Take George's email address, for example. It's Daniel_2_44, a Bible verse he will happily explain to you.
As God's promised, he's going to crush all the governments of the world, and his government is going to rule by his son, Jesus Christ. So that's my email.
And the Maynards' faith is central to this story and their relationship to Live Free or Die. George calls himself a Jehovah's Witness, even though he was kicked out or disfellowshipped in 1966. I couldn't confirm why this happened. George says some other witnesses didn't like him, so they falsely accused him of defrauding other members. Whatever happened, George hasn't been allowed in a Kingdom Hall since, but not for lack of trying.
When we moved up to New Hampshire, here again, I tried to attend meetings, and they wouldn't let me. So they would treat me like a leper.
So here you had George Maynard, deeply religious, disfellowshipped, feeling like he didn't have the right to practice his own religion. And he was moving to New Hampshire, a state with Live Free or Die on its license plates. The motto didn't stand a chance.
I wasn't free.
To the Maynards, having Live Free or Die stuck on their car was like advertising a way of life they didn't subscribe to. They didn't feel free, and they believe God will grant them everlasting life. So George covered up the motto with a strip of red electrical tape. And with that bit of tape, battle lines were drawn between the Maynards and the state of New Hampshire. The first encounter took place in a Lebanon parking lot in 1974.
We were shopping one night, and the police officer came to me and says, "I have to give you a citation because you're covering up the motto." I says, "Well, it's been a long time. I've been waiting for you."
New Hampshire law prohibited residents from altering their state plates, so George was fined $25. A judge later suspended it, pending good behavior. But George didn't remove the tape. He went a step further.
It wasn't too long after that, the same officer stopped me again.
Neil Woolley was the Lebanon police chief back then.
Only this time, they'd taken a pair of cutting shears or something and physically cut the words right out of the plate.
George ended up getting 3 tickets.
But when the laws of man conflict with God...
He recorded himself fighting those tickets in district court. And listening to this cassette tape, it's clear that even all these years later, George's passion against the motto has not changed. When he played it for me, he mouthed the words along with his younger self, as if the arguments were imprinted in his brain.
Live free or die is against my teaching and my belief, because life is more valuable than freedom to me.
George told the judge he refused to pay the fines, and he was sentenced to 15 days in jail.
They treated me pretty nice. It was comfortable.
It wasn't. I had to use somebody else's car to go and visit him.
Oh, right, because you didn't have any license plates.
No, she didn't have it. She didn't.
All the way to Grafton County. That was quite a trip.
George lost his job because of the jail time, and the Maynards really struggled to get by. But then they got a big phone call from the ACLU. They helped take the Maynards' case to the New Hampshire Supreme Court. And so a legal fight began over what free really meant in the state of New Hampshire.
Yeah, it was a good trial.
Here's Neil Woolley again. As police chief, he was named in the lawsuit, Woolley versus Maynard.
We worked with the way the law was written at the time, but the Supreme Court found that the Maynards had the right based on their beliefs. So consequently, we lost. It was like, no big deal.
And that would have been the end of it. Big victory for the Maynards. They could tape their plates as they pleased. And Woolley was clearly fine with the decision. No big deal. Except the ruling was a big deal in the New Hampshire State House.
Well, it was a very interesting time. The political landscape was quite different than it is now.
This is Tom Rath. He was a prosecutor in the Attorney General's office in the 1970s when this all went down. And he's been a fixture in state politics since.
There was a kind of an insurgent part of the Republican Party from the far right that had taken over with the election of Meldrum Thompson.
Governor Meldrum Thompson. Next to Woolley and the Maynards, he should really also have top billing in this story. There are endless anecdotes that illustrate Thompson's unique brand of conservatism. He was very anti-tax. He thought the National Guard should have nuclear weapons. And he was devoted to live free or die. He talks about it in this old educational video.
This was a sentiment of those who fought the Revolutionary War. And I think that it's imperative that we understand that our liberty came to us by those who are willing to make that kind of sacrifice for it.
Thompson says it was his idea before he was governor to put the motto on license plates.
I don't know of any more prominent place to carry a message than right on the license plate. That's the best billboard of all.
So while George Maynard saw Live Free or Die as an affront to his deeply held religious beliefs, Thompson saw the motto as a vital declaration of patriotism. So the governor ordered the attorney general to take the case to the U.S. Supreme Court. The Maynards were really surprised by this.
Yeah, I was.
I was a little bit surprised, yeah. I didn't think they were going to go that far, but I said, hey.
As in, hey, bring it on.
We'll hear arguments next in 75-14-53, Woolley against Maynard.
The AG's office argued that just because a car displays the motto doesn't automatically mean the driver believes in it. But in the end, the Supreme Court disagreed. And in a 6-3 decision, the court ruled it was against the Constitution to force citizens to use private property as a, quote, mobile billboard for the state's ideological message.
The judgment of the United States District Court for the District of New Hampshire is affirmed.
And that, finally, would have been the end of all that. But much to the surprise of everyone involved, Woolley versus Maynard has become one of the most important First Amendment cases in history. Next month, for example, the Supreme Court will hear the case of a Colorado baker who says he shouldn't be forced to bake a wedding cake for a same-sex couple because it's against his religious beliefs. One of the baker's attorneys, Jeremy Tedesco, calls the Maynard's victory crucial to their case.
It's one of those just primary cases that if you are battling as a plaintiff against the government coercing you or compelling you to engage in expression you don't want to engage in, Woolley versus Maynard is one of your go-to cases. So thank you, New Hampshire.
While the case of Woolley versus Maynard may be forever linked to New Hampshire, the Maynards actually left the state long ago for Connecticut. And in case you were wondering, yes, they also covered up Connecticut's motto, the Constitution State, on their license plates.
And so a policeman tried to give me a ticket. And so what they did is said, nah, we better not fool around with this guy. So they dropped it.
And with that, at least for a moment, the Maynards felt free. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Lauren Chulgen.